this one, I can drag out.
So, you're looking tidy in your Gucci loafers and your matching Moschino. Little spritz of Paco Rabanne? Nice. Rogue nostril hair? See ya. And now you've got 6 or 7 minutes before your Uber arrives. Time for a tune. But which one? Welcome to The Rest Is Noise, a podcast on a mission. To assign songs to every concept, person, people, place or thing in the universe. This episode, my panel of musicians, journalists and all-round pop nuts will be deciding the best song to listen to before a date. Could there be a tune that guarantees date night success? I'm your host, Martin Dickey, and arguing their case in this episode are journalist and indie filmmaker Hazel Sheffield.
Hello.
Cellist from indie band Madam, Sarah Gill.
Hello.
Calopegian philosopher Nathan Lee.
Hello.
And part-time DJ, full-time Drogo, Ian Wilkinson.
Hi.
So, what's the criteria here? Are you looking to be pumped up before a date, or are you looking to be relaxed?
Calm down. I need something to...
Something relaxing.
Relax me.
Some Brian Eno or something like that.
Well, you also want something upbeat, so it's a difficult line to tread.
You don't get too upbeat though, do you? You don't get booked, sent off early. You get too pumped up.
Maybe the song that you choose depends on the kind of date.
No. I think so, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It will depend if it's a first date, second date, date night, if you're
disco
in a relationship.
Date.
Disco date. Yeah. Roller skating date.
Sexy date.
Sexy date.
If you're on a date with someone significantly older than you.
You can only listen to old music.
Golden oldies.
To the Hovis tune.
Well, are my guests going to be offering universal advice, or are they drawing on their own experiences? We're starting with you, Hazel. What have you chosen?
I've chosen the Shoop Shoop song, Betty Everett's version.
Does he love me? I want to know. How can I tell if he loves me so? Is it in his eyes? Oh, no, you'll be deceived. Is it in his eyes? Oh, no, he'll make believe if you want to know. Shoop, if he loves you so, shoop, it's shoop. In his kiss. That's where it is. Oh, yeah. Or is it in his face? Oh, no, it's just his charm. In his one embrace. Oh, no, that's just his arm. If you want to know. Shoop, if he loves you so, shoop, it's in his kiss. That's where it is. Oh,
it's that was the Shoop Shoop song, It's In His Kiss by Betty Everett. It was a song composed by Rudy Clarke, and she, Betty Everett, released it in 1963.
A great choice, in my opinion. It, literally giving advice for someone heading out on a date, right?
I mean, while it was recorded by Betty Everett, it wasn't written by her. It was written by a guy called Rudy Clarke.
Okay. A bloke.
Mm. And actually, even though it's a solo song, it's considered a kind of classic of the girl group era.
Yeah.
Because it has this amazing trio of teenage girls called the Opals who do those amazing backing vocals that I love.
Yeah.
I chose the song because it is considered one of the classics of girl groups, which was an amazing genre of music linked to Motown in the 60s. And all of the songs are written by men, mostly, and recorded by women with incredible voices who often didn't get much financial credit for their work. But I also think that the era of the girl group kind of coincided with the emergence of this idea of the teenager, and that this music kind of rode on the popularity of this new economically free teenage class. So they're basically trying to sell this music to kids who had money, and what better way to do that through songs about dating, even if they do sound really sweet and nostalgic.
Yeah, they sound sweet and nostalgic now. I imagine at the time, would it have been a little bit racy to be saying it's in his kiss? That's quite a...
Yeah, almost certainly.
Yeah.
But that's what I kind of like about it too. As I thought about this, I thought, you know, when you first go on a date, you do look for signs of whether someone's into you and little things that they do and what they mean and that none of us will be able to go on these dates unless we did kind of suspend our cynicism and kind of get wrapped up in this romance, which is quite sweet, I think, to begin with. You know, it's not all about, like, getting someone into bed in this song.
Well, and there is a definite sweetness to him. Although some of the lyrics, you say written by a man, sung by a woman, there's very clever interplay in the lyrics about sort of giving advice to someone else who might be going on a date. So how do we know if there's going to be a second date? How do we know if it's going to be a success? And asking where is it in the body that you might discover this? And so one of the lines is, or is it in his face? You know, is it an expression? Oh no, that's just his charm. So, you know, the charm is hiding his true emotions. The following line is, in his warm embrace, sort of question mark. In his warm embrace, it says, oh no, that's just his arm. What are they confusing there? What are they not getting there? What is it that she thinks might be his arm?
Well, I think it was commercialised in a way to kind of suit the time. So it's not really how these women feel about things. You know, it's how men think that women want to feel about things. It's the Coca-Cola advert.
Yeah,
it's a commercial product, isn't it? It's someone's writing a product. They're not necessarily writing. I think that's really does most harm down to describe that and songs like this as being part of a production line and being a product to sell to make money. But that's essentially what they were in lots of ways, despite the kind of huge emotional attachment people have got to them and how great some of them are and how touching lots of them are. Mm. The idea of Motown was built on the production line model of cars. Mm. And they Absolutely. Were made to sell a product.
And I also thought about how that tied into like modern dating. You know, when we do think, you know, dating has been massively commercialised by dating apps and we do swipe right or left like a kind of production line of different people to see. And this was a really early iteration of that in some ways.
True.
Yeah, and some of the research that I did prior to the podcast when I was thinking about songs to pick, I looked back at Motown, particularly Smokey Robinson. Smokey's got a few tracks that are similar in, I guess, in theme to this one. He's got Choosy Beggar and Shop Around. Choosy beggar, choosy beggar. You better shop around. Both of them are about the courting, dating process. I guess both were released about the same time. And what I found interesting about something like Choosy Beggar is that it uses a language of commodity acquisition, of capitalism, in order to reduce romance into a very narrow field. And similarly, I guess you can sense the same themes in this one, right? It's the reduction of romance into a very transactional thing.
Totally. And loads of those songs are about dating or about falling in love. You know, almost all of them are.
So there's something about what Hazel was saying about the teenager that was kind of created in the early, late 50s, early 60s, that I felt with something like Choosy Beggar or Ursula Brown, it may have been an aberration, but it so clearly ties a bunch of things together. It ties the idea of romance to buying records. And I felt like it was a kind of outgrowth of capitalism in general, but it's actually how the identity of a teenager was formed in the 50s and 60s, right? Teenagers became consumers, and what a better way to make them consumers than to reel them in with songs about love.
Mm.
I mean, I don't want to be too cynical about it, but, you know, because I love this song and I loved those Smokey Robinson tracks I mentioned as well. Really beautiful, lovely little songs.
The people who wrote and produced it were that cynical, though. And I don't think that necessarily takes away from the enjoyment of the song. It's a great song. It's a great sub 3 minute pop song, but they were a product, and I think we've possibly sucked any enjoyment out of that song. So yeah. I'm really sorry.
Well, I think very compelling argument, and I think the three of you are going to have to do very well to topple it. Let's see who can try and do that. Sarah, you're up next. What song have you chosen?
I've chosen Speed of Life by David Bowie. Speed of Life by David Bowie off his album Low from 1977, and that song was actually the B-side of the single Be My Wife. And so Low was his 11th studio album, which marked a shift in musical style towards something more avant-garde and electronic, and critically regarded as one of his best albums, and I would agree.
It really is, and it's touted as it's a period that he was in Berlin, and it's often compared to the work of Kraftwerk. But Bowie himself has said, and I totally agree, it doesn't sound anything like Kraftwerk. There's such a glamour to this song particularly and that album. It was a dark time for him. He was recovering from cocaine addiction. He says there's loads of pain in the Low album, and it was named after his general feeling, his general emotion at the time. But I just think this song sounds so glamorous, doesn't it? It sounds so upbeat, and I think that's why you chose it for this?
Yes, well, there's a couple of reasons.
Yes.
I thought this was a perfect date song, partly, well, first of all, because of personal reasons. So this track and this whole album in general soundtrack to my summer of Tinder.
Oh.
My summer of Tinder. So it was my first foray into the old internet dating world after a rather lengthy fallow period.
And you listened to Low.
And I listened to Low.
Side A.
Well, exactly. So this track is so positive, and it's got real swagger. It's really hopeful. And listening to it makes me kind of want to strut down the street a bit, feel confident, really self-assured and positive, which is exactly how you need to feel before you go on a date, because it's absolutely bloody terrifying. So I think this is a perfect song to listen to before a date, but I would advise people to only listen to this track, or at least the first half of the album.
Yeah.
But keep the rest of the album, because you're going to need that later.
Oh, that's so ominous.
Cynical.
My argument is this whole album of Low perfectly describes the story of a journey of a relationship. Do you want me to tell you why?
Yeah.
Yes.
So starting out with Speed of Life, feeling very hopeful on your way to a date, feeling great. Great for your date. So at some point you might take them back to your manky flat, and they hope they don't look at your carpet because there's something awful in it.
Don't look at the carpet. I drew something awful on it.
Are you talking about my flat?
So you take them back to your carpet, hope they don't look at it.
Just to your carpet.
Take them back to your flat.
Wait, do you have a flat, or do you just have a carpet?
Don't even have a carpet in my flat.
Is this more about your carpet?
Anyway, and you think such a wonderful person, but they've got some problems, but you know, who doesn't? So you enter a relationship, let's say it's with a girl with maybe grey eyes who's got agoraphobia.
Just a little girl with grey eyes.
You're in the mood for love, nevertheless. Then you move in together and do some home decorating. I don't know what colour. I think maybe blue, electric blue.
Yeah, that'll do.
Should I colour? Is that the colour of my room where I live? Yeah,
blue, blue, electric blue. That's the colour of my room where I will live.
And so you and this girl, let's call her Jasmine, they settle in with this lovely life. Oh, Bill, you're always having these stupid arguments all the time. It's almost like you're always crashing in the same car. It's really frustrating.
But I'm always crashing in the same car.
Nevertheless, you ask her to be your wife, because after all, you do get so lonely.
Be my wife. Sometimes you get so lonely.
carry on, this is ridiculous.
I just don't know how you get it to side two. I mean,
well,
let's see.
Well, you want to start a family, but you can't afford suitable housing in London because of the prices, can you? So you have to start, and you move to start a new career in a new town.
Very good.
So you start your second phase of life. You might call it your side B. With hope and excitement, but quickly things take a turn for the worse. Life feels pretty bleak and oppressive. Once you had a heart full of love, but it's now as cold as Warsaw in winter. And your relationship collapses. And you decide to change. You become an artist. Ill-advisedly, perhaps, it's a bit embarrassing, but later you refer to it as your art decade, trying to be cool. soon you're alone again, and internally weeping while building up your emotional barriers as strong and impenetrable as the Berlin Wall. Until you become a creature so isolated and removed from societal expectations, you might as well be subterranean. And the memory of lost love is like that of a bright fading star. And that's why this song's perfect, because it starts you out with swagger, but it manages your expectations.
So your entire relationship is already in the twinkle in your eye on the way to the date. That's
probably
damaging. I mean, rack up another line. I think that's what Dave would have done.
Do you think that would have driven him back to the cocaine? If that's the way he'd perceived this album.
No, yes. He's long past that.
Well, he is now, yeah.
You mentioned Tinder back there. What do you think the best time is to get a match on Tinder?
6 p.m.
2 a.m.
What?
Like between about 7 and 9 p.m.
I think we're each just talking about what we prefer to get laid.
It's 9 p.m. And what percentage of the time do women swipe right?
0.3%.
Based on personal, probably 0.3 or something.
1 in 30.
Percentage? God, where?
1 in 30.
Yeah, that's a guess. That's just
that's very optimistic, Nathan.
14%.
14%.
Seriously, 14%, I'm sure mine's less than 1%.
And what about men?
Like 79%.
1 in 5.
46%.
1 in 2. Oh my God.
What's the most common occupation for right swiped male Tinder users?
Oh, I think I saw this somewhere. Is it physio?
No, it's not.
Doctor?
No.
Accountant?
Pilot.
Pilot, that's it.
Pilot.
And
what's the... maybe that's the draw, yeah.
Nice and slim.
And what about for female Tinder users?
What's also the... pilot.
Physio. That one was physio.
That's physical therapist.
That's very good.
Yeah, physical therapist. And what percentage of Tinder
users... So predictable, isn't it?
What percentage of Tinder users wear neutral colours in their pictures?
Who cares?
I don't know.
What's a neutral colour? Yeah. Good question. Let's iron that out first.
That's really weird.
Why?
Grey?
Stats to have.
Beige?
Not a primary colour, would that be?
Yeah.
No, it's beige, grey, black. It's like browns. A neutral colour is not a colour, basically.
Yeah.
How many, what percentage of people have that?
75.
Yeah.
Ooh, 72%. Good guess.
Well, this is something that I'd like to get to the bottom of whilst there are like two women in the room.
Do you not often have more than two women in the room with you?
who may have used Tinder.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you want to know, Nath?
How bad are men's profiles?
Awful.
Yeah, really. I mean, I imagine it like just a train of men with a... shirts off, perhaps posing with like dead animals.
It's not all so that bad. It's just there's a lot of very boring looking men. And so you have to go through or just...
Boring is awful, to you.
Yes.
I think it might be the men who are reading Men's Fitness. Because, there's an article in Men's Fitness in October of this year. And it says this. In sex, just like sports, it pays to play by the rules. But sometimes the rules just aren't working. In football, officials move the restraining line from the 30-yard line to the 35 with the intention of increasing touchbacks. Well, now it's time to dump some obsolete dating rules too, if you want to win. Play by these new rules and you'll score again and again.
Wow, it's like that. What was that thing called? The game where you had to like neg on a girl to like make her like you.
I don't know what that was as a game.
It was a
but
book.
Oh, that guy, that awful guy did that. But I remember getting a couple of messages on OkCupid, and I realised it must have been a technique because I got an identical message.
It's a technique, yeah.
Saying, from several people saying...
There's a book about it.
You really should change your profile picture.
Yeah, so basically the thing is that rather than like chat up a girl with a compliment, you say something negative.
And so
they
go, what? So you're like, why? Why'd you say that? And then you're in a dialogue with someone.
Have we really come very far since the days of Shoop Shoop?
Depends on...
We've gone backwards.
It's increasingly commodified, isn't it, the dating experience?
Well, Men's Fitness seems to think there are great differences, and here are some of them. The old, checking women out. New, women checking men out.
Oh my God.
Why? Think your zipper's undone? It's not. Women are just busy ogling what's on offer.
Oh, what? They wish.
Flipping it.
Definitely written by a man.
Old, dating one woman at a time.
Old.
New, multi-dating.
I wonder why they put that one in capital
multi-dating.
Letters.
Multi-dating.
Back in the day, there was only one type of steak on every menu.
What?
Beef. Now you can try venison steak, tuna steak, even tofu steak.
Where's the sporting analogy gone?
And it's the same with dates, just so you, just so you make sure you realise. Online and mobile dating have expanded the menu.
Oh, we really are comparing women to steak.
We've mentioned basketball, football, sex, bosh, bosh, bosh.
And steak.
Men's fitness.
And steak,
of course. Tofu steaks.
Well, what do you think? Do you think we've come a long way since maybe not the 70s, 60s, but what about the 1950s? In the October 1950 issue of Woman's Own, the magazine warned women that certain foods, such as celery, could quite correctly be eaten with the hands. However, apples and pears should be approached with caution because fruit causes some embarrassment. Mm, this is this is dating advice for women specifically.
We don't eat a pear on a date. That's weird.
Yeah, true, actually.
That makes such a mess.
Eat your pear if you want to eat your pear. That's what
right.
I say.
Oh, okay.
I mean, they're going to have to find out how you eat a pear eventually. You might as well get it out of the way the first date.
Yeah, if they don't like it because of the way you eat a pear, then maybe it's not worth
just
it.
Just bring me a bit of kitchen roll.
You can't handle me while I'm eating a pear.
It continues.
What if you're in like a netball tournament and there's fruit? Or
yeah.
Also, if you're on a date and someone was just politely eating celery, it'd be a bit weird, wouldn't it?
Well, if it's out there, Bloody Mary, maybe.
Oh. Context.
Brunch date.
Context is everything.
Yeah. Chewing on the edge of their glass.
Also,
steak metaphors.
Who am I to criticise someone's celery? I'd rather they were in celery than. Tofu steak.
It continues. There are certain foods which are eaten in a manner entirely different from others. I think we've established that. For instance, asparagus is one of the few foods which can be eaten with fingers.
I mean, this isn't so much dating advice as just general life advice. To be honest, I could have done with this at certain points in my life.
How about who knew this about 1950? On the continent, fruit is always eaten with a knife and fork. But in this country, it is sometimes correct to cut the apple and pear into sections and eat it with your fingers or just the fork.
What has this got to do with dating?
I just am imagining pears and apples like shooting across tables and dates all over the country.
Injuring
like,
people. Maybe it caused so many injuries in the 1950s that fruit sort of stepped back from the dating scene and became more of a sort of snack or a home consumption. Perhaps.
I think we need to move on.
Or we go back 30 years to the 1922 article in the Miami News, which stated the number one cause of car crashes, driving with one hand while holding the girl with the other.
That's the number one cause?
Holding the girl.
Oh, in like an American kind
by
of...
way.
In the
way.
In 1922.
That was a cause of accidents.
Yeah, police worried about dating. The teenage explosion apparently was happening in 1922.
Oh, I'm just thinking about like great dating car scenarios now. You know, when you're in a car on a date, and you're like, oh, should I touch his leg? Is he going to touch my leg?
Yeah.
Oh, the cars are great places for dates. I mean, I know we don't have like drive-in cinemas anymore, but
oh, he touched the gear stick. Shit.
Oh, you always have to go there, don't you, Morton?
No, as in you think he's going to lean over and touch your leg, and it's just the gear stick. He's changing gear. He's not driving. She's driving.
He's helping change gear.
Yeah. Can I change gear, please?
It's mansplaining.
It's automatic.
Hang on, love. I'll change that gear.
Yeah. Used it to the pedals. We will move on then.
I think it's good that we do.
To Nathan. Nathan, what have you chosen?
I have chosen A Paw in My Face by The Field. To note of that track is that you probably actually can't even tell it samples Lionel Richie's Hello. I don't know if that was obvious to you, Sarah.
It was not obvious to me.
Good. That's a good bit of information there. And
what a tune that is.
This is from his debut album from Here We Go, Sublime, from 2007. I think it's fair to say in the more recent years he's drifted towards darker interpretations of the kind of ambient techno that he normally puts out. But it's still the repetition and the looping and the kind of thing that his music is built around, which is loops, repetitions and samples.
Usually of already very famous pop or rock songs... On that album alone, 2007, not only did he use Lionel Richie's Hello, Fleetwood Mac's Everywhere, Flamingo's Only Have Eyes For You, Kate Bush's Under Ice. So it's resequencing manipulations of snippets of other people's songs to build the entire track.
Yeah, it's kind of unlike a lot of electronic music that's produced in that way. And I think it's barely recognisable which tracks he's taken from. He really breaks it down.
What I like about this album is he gradually reveals a little bit more of the sample as the song goes on. So that is a tiny guitar snippet at the start, and by the end it's the kind of middle eight of the song, isn't it? The sort of instrumental guitar bit in the middle of Hello. By the end, when it plays a whole bit, it's that's where it came from. It sounds like, and a lot of the songs on this album the same, nothing at all is happening. And it's only when you sort of think back to what it was like when it started, you realise that it has actually changed. It's these sort of barely imperceptible changes.
He's performing a sort of magic eye, but through magic ear.
Magic ear.
It's magic ear music. So why then, we're talking about song season two Before a Date, why choose this song and not, for example, Hello itself?
So I was thinking about all the tracks that I have listened to before dating, or tracks that remind me of a particular date. Certainly when I was younger, some of those are almost, well, they're problematic now to list them. Each of those songs has within it a projecting an expectation of how the date might go. And I don't think that that's a particularly useful way of going into these things. And particularly if you're a nervous person like me, who don't want too much expectation of how it might proceed. Instead, you want something that feels good. Well, sounds upbeat, which I think this does. Slightly melancholy, but it's joyful in a way. It's blissful, it's fuzzed out. But also, there is the sample from Hello, which is, I find, the hardest thing to do when I'm dating. Hello's both the hardest thing online and if you're a man. I mean, it's not the hardest thing if you're not a man. But
so it's almost, for me, then, imagining you in your parlour, getting ready to go on a date, gripping the vanity dresser, and looking at yourself and kind of like on a kind of twitchy repeat, like about to leave the house. And then as the cab driver beeps the horn outside, in that express moment, the actual full sample of Hello comes on and you just straighten up and go, and you coolly walk out of the flat.
No, I think because the repetition, it sounds joyful, ambient, blissful. And so it's kind of a non-judgmental piece of music that sets you in a right frame of mind without like bigging you up too much, without like getting you too hyped on self-confidence.
I wondered whether you chose this because my experience of a period of quite extensive internet dating was that it was incredibly repetitive. every first date was the same.
That is also one of the reasons I picked it, yeah. Online dating, the hardest part, I think, is thinking about something interesting to say that they haven't heard before and that they're going to want to reply to.
Do you think it's any easier through online dating than it would be talking to someone you don't know in a bar?
This is the thing I find hardest in any part of dating. If I was to see a woman in the bar, I've never been able to say hello.
That's my favourite part of dating.
Really? Mm. Oh man, I was so bad at it.
That you would go up and talk to people,
giving someone your number on a napkin, going to talk to them.
Oh, I don't know if I ever did that very much. I got chatted up on the bus though the other day.
That's good. How did that go?
A Tamil Tiger.
And what was their opening gambit? Was that their opening gambit?
No, but he did then show me lots of pictures of Sri Lankan war crimes.
He's in there, isn't he? Yeah.
It was pretty harrowing.
At least we can date at arm's length now. At least it's through the medium of a mobile phone and their mobile phone. Well, because prior to that, I don't know if you've seen any of those 1980s dating videos. So you could you could order a VHS through the post and it would come and it would be a selection of men or women describing themselves.
Oh, they're adorable.
They're adorable. Let's have a little listen to some now. Are you looking for me? I'm looking for someone. Where can you be? Someone.
Okay, early to bed, early to rise makes a woman healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's why you're wiser than me. It's Stephen.
Hi, I'm Maurice. I'm an executive by day and a wild man by night.
Hi, my name's Monroe. You've probably already noticed that I have incredibly blue eyes.
Hi, my name is Phil. Most of my friends call me Big Phil.
Hi, my name's Mike, and if you're sitting there watching this tape smoking your cigarette, well, hit the fast forward button, because I don't smoke and I don't like people who do smoke.
I'm not afraid to get sand on my tuxedo if you're not afraid to let the wind mess your hair up a little bit when I take the top down.
Perhaps even a nice bath with some champagne and candles.
I'm looking for the goddess. Are you the goddess? Who is the goddess? The goddess is the woman, is a woman, is any woman, is all women.
One of my favorite foods is pizza.
You laugh at that, but this is what dating profiles are kind of like.
Like
gendered
pizza.
But people say,
no shit, dude.
So on OkCupid, people would, you have to list something like 6 things you couldn't do without, and people will put like a food stuff or coffee or something. And again, this is nothing about the person writing it, but you're kind of forced to write these really inane,
it's
boring
really
things.
I really like pizza though.
I really like coffee.
Would it be a deal breaker? Would it be the first thing you needed to know?
Maybe not.
To come back to the track.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I listened to this earlier today and I thought you said it sounded quite hopeful. I thought it was a bit like anxiety provoking.
Really?
And I was like, why on earth are you listening to this before a date? This is where you're going wrong, I think.
It's chilled.
It's chilled at all.
Yeah,
it's too fast. It may be a bit like, ooh.
Right. Well, this is... See, that actually, you've tapped into another point I wanted to make. I don't think that you can select one song that embodies dating because it's heavily gendered. It's heavily age defined. And also it's dependent upon the kind of date you're going on. We've talked mostly about first dates, but if you're a pair of, you know, lovebirds, dating's slightly different experience.
Well, right? We're trying to find the song, the universal song, which is best in any situation, any dating situation.
Yeah, so it's probably David Bowie.
Because this is non-judgmental, I think because it doesn't tell you how it should be or it should progress or what should happen, it just makes you feel good.
Makes you stressed.
Makes you stress specifically.
Yeah, so it's not universal then, is it?
Wow.
But at its actual heart, underneath everything, it's just Lana Richie's Hello.
Which is the most important thing to get right for a day.
I know, but then also it's a bit
that's
needy,
a great
isn't
callback,
it?
Though. That's a great callback.
It is a great callback. But is that the one that goes, hello, is it me you're looking for?
Yeah.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Well, repurposed for the modern...
For 2007.
A modern man.
For a decade ago.
Well, the thing is, you couldn't pick anything from recently from the field because it's all quite... I mean, a lot of electronic music at the moment, a lot of electronic techno music particularly, is kind of brooding and dark and heavy.
People have said that Alex Wilner, who is the field, actually his sound is less techno and more trance, actually.
Yes, yeah, I would agree with that, I think.
So it's almost your second week in a row where you've chosen a trance tune.
Yeah.
You're going for a win.
It's actually the third week, third appearance in a row that I've chosen an electronic track without any lyrics as well.
Are you trying to hide something from us?
He's trying to move to a world beyond words.
Yeah.
Not songs.
So why is on the spoken word podcast?
No podcast.
Song universe.
We need to move on into a new world ourselves, and it's the world of you, Ian. What have you chosen?
I've chosen Todd Terrier, Inspector Norse. That was Inspector Norse by Todd Terrier from 2012.
Terrier. Been chosen before on the podcast, hasn't it? Didn't win.
V feel it was worthy of a second chance. Mm. It deserved to win. My reasoning lies very much behind the fact I'm in a very happy relationship.
And who is
this? Well,
oh.
Wait and...
The trend soap opera, here we go.
Exactly. How much are we allowed to reveal about ourselves on the Rest Is Noise?
I've got 3 A stars, an A, a B, 4 C's and a D in my GCSEs. There we are. We're all revealing something about ourselves.
Well, A stars and a B.
You didn't get A stars and a B. A stars and a B.
Is that on your Tinder profile? Because it bloody well should.
Yeah, I mean it should. I mean that's the big question, isn't it?
It's the same as GCSE.
This, sorry ladies and men and anyone else who's interested, I'm not on the market at the moment.
You're on the market, okay.
Oh,
damn.
But this song is very much linked in, woven into the fabric of my relationship. I met my girlfriend's on New Year's Day at Corsica Studios to see Todd Terrier.
In London. Not Corsica.
And met again once after that, but then once again to see Todd Terrier. And from there, you know, the seeds of romance began to blossom, I like to think. You can ask her in a moment.
She's here tonight.
She may well be. When we went on our first actual date, she used her considerable power and influence to wang on me a copy of the it's album time up front on a promo CD. I feel this song is, and the music of Todd Terrier has been woven into our relationship ever since.
There you have it, people, in case that wasn't clear, and I don't actually know if it was. 2 people on this podcast are in a relationship. They are Ian and Hazel.
I'm just his beard.
Todd Terrier has a beard.
I can't believe it. I never suspected.
There is another very tenuous reason why I've chosen this. It is, when I think of first dates, this is one of the songs I think of now. But you can't fail to raise a smile and grin when you put this song on. And it's a perfect song for dancing around your bedroom to, just before you go out to put yourself in a good mood. And as we know, everyone's better looking when they smile.
Who says everyone's better looking when they smile?
I've tried to make this universal, Sarah. Give me a break.
Oh, Ian, I've seen you.
You're a whole album...
talking of smiles, and this is relevant because obviously you have to select a photograph to put in your Tinder profile. I really had to learn how to smile in my profile pictures. I think when I originally smiled for the camera, I sort of had a kind of I looked as if I was in distress, actually. And I thought I was having a very happy time, perfectly fine. The photo would come back and I looked like distraught. And then I learned, just from seeing multiple photographs of myself, that I had to actually, in my mind, become a crazy person and open my mouth really wide and show loads of teeth, and that's how I look normal. Now, is that the same experience other people have?
No, that's just a Martin-specific experience.
Apparently the secret is to put your tongue behind your top teeth.
Ooh, but if the flash goes off, you're going to get a bit of tongue. You're going to get a bit of underside of the tongue.
You shouldn't do that, Ian.
But Ian, I've seen photographs of you. You look great on camera, I have to say.
Yeah, he does look great on camera.
Just not so much in the flesh.
Yeah, you've learned how to do that smile. You really have.
Sure. Look, listen to Todd Terrier before anyone takes a picture.
Nathan, what's your strategy for profile pictures?
My dating pictures are pretty randomly selected.
Neutral colours?
I haven't put much effort into them at all. Mm. If a photo is taken of me that is passable, then it'll probably
make the cut.
There's some good photos of you out there, though, Nathan.
I disagree, but thank you.
No, I've got plenty on my phone. Maybe I just haven't seen it. Let's just recap your argument here for Inspector Norse as the song Since Before a Date. It makes you smile, and it's been an ever-present in your own relationship.
Yeah.
So follow suits, people, and you may well find yourself on date night success.
It's the perfect song.
Specifically with the one other person.
Whoa there. So let's row back from that.
At this point, each of my 4 contestants vote for the song they think is best to listen to before a date. They can't vote for themselves. And we start with the person who went first. That was you, Hazel.
I'm going to vote for Ian, obviously, because Todd Terrier worked.
Are you going to buy it, the rest of you? Sarah?
Ooh, Well, I can't choose yours, Nathan. I'm sorry, because it's just too stressful. I don't know why on earth you'd listen to that before a date. That's bizarre. It's tricky between the last two, but I have to say I'm a soppy old romantic and I love a lovely love story, so I'm going to have to go to the Ian's as well.
What? Ooh.
I'm sorry, Hazel.
Nathan.
I'm going to have to go for Hazel. I really like this idea of the music emerging out of this new kind of identity of the teenager, which has been harnessed ever since.
Ian.
I don't want it to seem like I'm doing this to... I'm going to vote for Hazel.
Oh, yay!
well, I'm going to vote for the Shoop Shoop song.
Yeah.
Because it is the perfect bit of dating advice. And it's actually the only one we've picked tonight which has got words.
It's bad advice, though, isn't it? It's bad advice. It's bad advice.
It's the only advice we've got, guys.
So, two apiece.
I think it's a travesty that I'm not winning.
No, I mean, to be fair, if you were in the final two, Sarah,
yeah,
I probably would have chosen Nathan. no, actually, I probably would have chosen you. It's
fuck you!
Trying to please everyone. Can't please everyone, can only please one of you two, and it's going to have to be... Hazel.
Oh! Yay!
The Shoop Shoop song. So... Listeners, your love life woes are over. The best songs the best song to listen to before a date is It's In His Kiss, the Shoop Shoop song by Betty Everett. Well done, Hazel. Listen to it and other songs we've deemed as perfect pre-date pop on the accompanying Spotify playlist you'll find at our website, therestisnoise.org. Next episode's topic. Like our own answer to Sufjan Stevens' 50 States project, we're making a first and quite possibly last foray into finding songs for each of the English counties, starting with Warwickshire. Let us know your choice for this landlocked West Midlands locale on Facebook, Twitter, and at our website. Right, a word of victory from the winner.
It's all about his kiss.
The rest is just noise. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.